Hi, welcome to episode 432 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott. And if I ever won the lottery, pet monkeys for everyone! We can only dream. Today, Fantastic Four, issue 432, or volume 3, number 3, from March 1998. Happy New Year, Reed Richards. Now Die! By guest writer Scott Lobdell and guest artist Alan Davis. The story opens on Pier 4, Fantastic Four headquarters. You know, I consider my headquarters to be Pier 1, which is why my house is so swagalicious. Johnny and Ben are dressed up in tuxes. Sue has a fancy red dress on. And when they open the door to Reed's lab to see if he's ready for the evening's charity event to ring in the new year of 1998, they find Reed still in his Fantastic Four uniform, doing an autopsy on Iconoclast, the villain from last issue. The rest of the FF are shocked that Reed has tracked down, killed, and is now dissecting Iconoclast. And I'm sure most readers were surprised that Iconoclast has showed up again, even though he's dead. But Reed assures everyone that this isn't the real Iconoclast. It's only a holographic projection. He's doing a holographic endoplasty on the image of Iconoclast. Reed goes on to give us a lot of mumbo-jumbo about Iconoclast's genetic makeup, like it's gonna matter. He will never show up ever again. Ever. Reed assures everyone that his tux is ready, and he'll catch up with the rest of them once his little experiment is done. Meanwhile, high up in the air, the Silver Surfer is riding his surfboard with a special passenger, Alicia Masters. There was a time over in the Surfer's own book where she was spending a lot of time with the Silver Surfer, which continues to back up my theory about Alicia, that because she was sexually abused by her stepfather, she gets involved with men who are, shall we say, sexually unavailable. The Silver Surfer doesn't even have a penis, for crying out loud. The Surfer says that ever since the Fantastic Four got back, he's been thinking about them, and Alicia says that even though Ben hasn't tried to contact her, she thinks she ought to get in touch with the FF. Suddenly, the Surfer grabs his head in pain. She asks, "What's wrong?" And he replies, "Something is growing in the earth, and it poses an immediate threat to the survival of the planet." Meanwhile, at Empire State University, it's a quiet night as security guard Devin Chapman makes his rounds. He imagines himself defending off a group of terrorists or something like that, and then maybe they'll make a movie out of it, starring Bruce Willis. He passes by a student named Kathy Palumbo, working late into the night, and she notices something on the slide that she's looking at. "Is that possible?" she asks herself. A monkey is watching from a cage nearby, and he says to himself, "Of course it is." The results of the biopsy on the monkey show there are synthetic fibers in the muscle tissues, and it's as if the monkey were producing its own virus, which means she better wear a condom if she wants to get it on with that monkey. She picks up the phone to call her consulting professor, but she gets his answering machine, which was a device people used back in the old days. Hook it up to your phone, and it would record messages for you if you weren't home. And she leaves a message, but the voice behind her orders her to hang up the phone. She turns around and finds herself face to face with Dr. Ivan Kragoff and his three friends, Miklo, Peter, and Igor. You know them better as the Red Ghost and the Super Apes. They say they had to wait until the final moment before contamination. She asks, "Contamination?" And they attack her while one monkey hangs up the phone. Back at the FF warehouse headquarters, Reed is still hard at work, and now he's getting help from Herbie the Robot, making his first appearance in almost 16 years. I'm not sure why Reed keeps rebuilding Herbie. He's been nothing but problems so far. Herbie's commands get taken over by Sue, and he does what Sue would do if she were there. Nag Reed, telling him he's needed right away at the party on 7th Avenue. Reed utters a passcode that shuts down Herbie, and he goes back to work. Next, Reed is informed that he has a phone message. He thinks it's Sue at first, but it's not. is Kathy Palumbo from ESU. It turns out, Reed is her consulting professor, the one she tried to call. He hears her message, and she gets cut off, and he hears a voice that says, "Hang up the phone." He immediately heads off in the Fantastic Car and sends out a flare to contact his teammates. Let's just hope they're looking out the window at the right time. Back at the ESU lab, Kathy is tied up and the apes are going, ape, ripping the place apart. She asks what they're doing, and the baboon tells her they have a plan, which is why he spent the last few weeks posing as an innocent lab animal. The security guard from earlier shows up, and he wanted to take on some terrorists, but instead, he gets monkeys, and he's not much of a match for the monkeys either. The baboon turns his body into a sheet of metal and deflects his bullets, and then he uses his magna kinetic powers to lift the guard off the ground. Meanwhile, Reed is in the air vent, like Bruce Willis, watching as events unfold. The apes reveal what they've been working on, the development of 1,000 gallons of toxic nerve gas. One thing I've noticed, in this story, the apes seem like they're getting most of the dialogue, like they're in control. The Red Ghost, however, isn't doing very much. The monkeys want to get revenge on mankind for all their experimentation on their fellow apes. They're going to release the nerve gas into the atmosphere, specifically into Times Square, killing all of the New Year's Eve revelers. Except Dick Clark, of course. By this point of 1997-98, he was already dead, and they were just wheeling him out, Weekend at Bernie style, for New Year's. They hear a knock on the door, and surprisingly, one of the monkeys is dumb enough to answer it, and he gets a big blue stretchy fist right in the face. The rest of Reed oozes up through a nearby air vent, and so of course, Reed starts fighting with the apes. He headbutts one of them, taking him out, and then he tells the last ape, Peter, to give up, and Reed tries to grab him, but he makes himself intangible. Over with the Red Ghost, he's distracted by a bunny. He's petting a bunny, completely oblivious to everything else that's going on. I'm not sure why the Red Ghost is acting like a child. It's not like you can win an Eisner by going full retard. Reed argues with Peter that experimentation on apes is necessary to benefit both humans and animals, and then Reed knocks him out by smashing the grate in his face. Just then, with the super apes defeated, Reed's own version of the three super apes appear, Sue, Johnny, and Ben. Only they're not as smart as the super apes. Ben approaches the Red Ghost and sees him playing with that rabbit. Reed says that he should put Igor, Miho, and Peter into quarantine before they get dangerous. And Ben is impressed that Reed can remember all their names, because I sure can't. Johnny notices that Ivan the Red Ghost is a bit less smart than he used to be. Ivan says, "Ivan, keep bunny. Ivan, love bunny." Reed thinks that maybe the super apes are responsible for the diminishing intellect of the Red Ghost. Either that, or he's just smoked a lot of weed. Ben says, "All's well that ends well," and Reed wonders if it has ended well. The Red Ghost and his apes got their powers the same way the FF got theirs, from cosmic rays. And Reed worries that maybe they will start to change the way RG and the apes have. Like, Reed could get dumb, and Sue, Johnny, and Ben could get smart. That would be fun. So later, in Tibet, a reporter and her photographer have tracked down a monastery, one they've been looking for years. The order of Tibetan monks who offered sanctuary to a young Victor Von Doom. She, like myself, wonders how a group of Buddhist monks, pacifists, helped create the world's worst warmongering terrorist. She opens the big front door, looks in, and sees a bunch of monks laying on the floor, dead. As the photographer takes pictures of the dead bodies, the female reporter heads into the next room, the room with the hot fire pit where they work with metal, where Dr. Doom's armor was created. There's even some spare parts, like a mask and things, hanging on the wall. She says she's worried that whoever is responsible has gotten away with it. The photographer says they better get out of there before it's too late. But a voice behind them says, "It's too late." And they turn and they see Crucible. Yeah, I don't know who that is either. But if he killed all those monks, he's got to be pretty awesome, right? But then again, he was co-created by Scott Lobdell, so maybe not. We can't really get a good look at Crucible, so I'll describe him next time we see him. Well, finally, the issue ends underground with the Mole Man taking a swim in a pool of hot water. He's naked. He gets out. He wraps a towel around his waist, even though he's alone. I guess he doesn't want us to see the goods. He hears a noise, and he yells out, "Face me, you if you dare, intruder!" And then he sees him, and he's like, "You? So the whispers that have raged throughout these cavern walls are true!" He says that he doesn't care if he tries to dominate the surface world, but warns him not to mess with the underground kingdom of the Mole Man. We have no idea who Mole Man is talking to, but I bet he's pretty awesome. Unless, of course, he was created by Scott Lobdell. So, we'll find out more about Mole Man and this other guy next issue. And in 2 issues, we'll find out what Crucible is up to. Also next issue, the FF finally get a regular creative team as Chris Claremont and Salvador LaRocca jump on board. In a double-sized issue, another double-sized issue. Yes, they celebrate the 4th issue of Volume 3 with a double-sized issue. That must be a first. So that's all I have for today. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes, or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.